Welcome aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes, and the Taste of Chicago is officially open for business. One of the true signs of summer underway.
I got that thing.
I know, you don't like it. I don't know why. You don't enjoy it. I do. I really do.
Well, I'm afraid of food on a stick. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself when I'm having the stick. That's my first problem. The other thing I have with that is I worked at a food festival at the original Chicago Fest back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. And was that the precursor to the Taste of the Chicago's?
It was. Well, Taste of Chicago, there was Chicago Fest at Navy Pier.
Okay,
and that was the big, you know, it was a music and food festival. Then Taste of Chicago was on Michigan Avenue, and it was Arnie Morton, you know, the famous Morton's.
Yeah, Morton's.
He put
Steakhouse.
Together a bunch of his buddies, and they did, it was Arnie Morton and Rich Melman when they were starting out with Let Us Entertain You. And they did just, you know, a couple of tents, and they closed off Michigan Avenue from Ohio up to the river.
Did they do the exotic foods then, or did they stick with the right? Like, did they have the rattlesnake and the alligator?
No, it was all fare from the restaurants, you know, that they were doing. So whether it was, you know, Morton Steakhouse or Let Us Entertain You Place or whatever it was, they were doing like little, you know, finger food. And it was just a couple of booths.
Oh.
And then Chicago Fest folded because undoubtedly there was, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think someone went to jail.
Oh.
And then they
shocking.
They decided they were going to move it, and they moved it over to Soldier Field for a while, and then they decided on Grant Park about, I don't know, 40 years ago, I think now, close to 40 years ago, 38 years ago, and it's been there ever since. So they combined the whole thing where it's a music festival and it's food, and I worked, you know, in a booth where we made stuff, you know, we had a... You know, a thing.
Did you have a grill, or was it all...
We were cooking. Well, in one case, I worked for a submarine shop, so we did sub sandwiches.
Love a good sub sandwich.
And so there was a guy assembling the sub sandwiches in back, and then I would have to go down to the truck down in the bowels of Navy Pier and go get the supplies.
Okay.
And
doesn't sound so bad.
There's a coyote family that lives down there.
Oh.
No, they're honest to God,
you
there really
indoors,
is.
Indoors, though, weren't to get your food.
It's kind of indoors. Docks. You know, back then, this is before Navy Pier was redone.
It was just a pier.
It was a pier.
It was scary.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was
Although
scary.
Although Chicago Fest was awesome.
It was.
I mean, it was really a good
fest. It was down and dirty, and they had the best musical acts. And what they did is they put all the musical acts on barges on the pier.
Love that idea.
And then the main stage was where the water filtration plant, you know, is, that little roundabout there. And that had the biggest acts of the day. Had played, you know, played that main stage at night. Frank Sinatra played that stage. The Blues Brothers, when they were shooting the movie here,
think about that.
They played that.
Did they move it just for space? They needed Grant Park for the number of people and popularity.
I think it turned out that the guys who were producing it didn't really have the rights to Navy Pier. Is I think what happened. It was one of those kind of scandals. Yeah, it was a bit of a scandal. Uh-huh. Little scandal. You know, Jane Byrne.
Yeah, Jane Byrne. I was going to say it was during her time there.
Yeah. I just appreciated growing up going to Taste. It was such a thing you looked forward to every year because you got to sample all of these kinds of foods that you normally wouldn't get to have, and I love that experience. And to this day, you still get to do that. Kids love it.
I love the Taste, too. And the food I ate at the Taste, I'd never eat all year long. It was just my menu, like my lineup for the Taste.
Yes.
Like
what was it?
I have a turkey leg, the holy cow.
Because
chips,
nobody eats
a turkey leg.
A turkey
ever,
leg, yeah.
Unless you go to like medieval times or something.
Great America.
They have it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat there. And then...
to some sort of Renaissance fair.
Yes.
Where there's a guy...
Plentiful there.
There's a guy wearing a velvet suit. It's 100 degrees outside.
And a hat with a feather in it.
Right. And he's like, would ye like a turkey leg?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it would be that, the rib tips, pad thyme, and the holy cow chips, yeah.
I think going for lunch is the play. Beat the crowd.
I'd always want
because
the chocolate
crowds and
banana.
Walking around with food and it's hot in the summer.
No, it's very important. They should say at Taste of Chicago, beat the crowd before the crowd beats you.
Right.
Because there's always some sort of weird thing that happens in the middle of that too, where there's a, you know, an act of disobedience.
I'm in, I'm out. I know exactly where I'm going.
Well, I'm going tonight, so I'll try to cause some trouble.
So what, get because, the, you know, what are you going to get?
Now they have alcohol. First, I'm going to get alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, they got plenty of that there. Yeah.
Smoked alligator sausage, rattlesnake and rabbit sausage is on the Chicago Doghouse menu.
No sausage.
But then over at the Blackwood Barbecue, you've got the brisket sandwich with the Chicago BBQ sauce, the Alabama BBQ sauce, the Memphis BBQ sauce, and they even have a vegetarian version.
Don't they have a filet sandwich? I seem to remember that.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
The corn. Choking hazard.
The worst is when you see someone eating something, though, that passes
you. See a lot of people choking.
I'm very concerned about a choking hazard. Yes, I'm always worried about that.
People are always giving the Heimlich everywhere you look.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it is a food fest.
It is. Every 5 minutes when a guy's not trying to sell you a turkey leg, he's trying to actually get you to cough it up.
Try not to eat the bone.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's a something. And the problem I have with those festivals in general is that there's always somebody with a quadruple wide baby carriage kind of thing. Baby, you know, whatever that
stroller.
Is. Stroller. Thank you. Thank you for thinking.
It's got wheels. Right. It moves the baby.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Thank you, Violetta. You know what I mean. Anyway, so, and there's somebody, and I don't know, I had no idea that they made them four wide. And so there's like a baby, there's like an infant, there's like a 2-year-old, there's like a 4-year-old is too big, and then there's a 12-year-old in it as well.
Four wide. Usually they do the double in the front and the double in the back.
Yeah, no, it's like four
I've
wide.
I've seen three wide.
And they're,
really?
And they're trying to navigate it. It's like trying to park an airplane.
It's like coming through,
right? And then they're sitting there eating, dripping the barbecue sauce on the baby's head because they're they're eating over the stroller. Ugh, I don't know.
Poor baby.
At least only one baby gets it.
Not for me. Just not for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I would just think you wouldn't like the hygiene of seeing everyone's sticky fingers eating and the lack of using napkins and stuff. I'm sure
and
that would gross
you out.
Why
would you even bring your kids there? Your little kids like that. It's weird.
Well, because you got to do something.
No, we used to get a sitter. That used to be a big thing to go to the Taste of Chicago and spend a couple hours there without children.
Oh, you're living now. Now you're living.
Let me tell you, we knew how to do it back then. Plus, we only had one stroller.
Do you take your kid?
I do, yeah. I take Gabby. She loves it.
She's older. She can eat.
She's six.
These are some. These
well,
are
she's
like,
one. She's not four.
What?
Like only one person.
Yeah, right.
It's easier to keep track of them when you only have one.
But sometimes they bring the kids and they're all wired up to each other. You know how they do that?
They put them on a leash.
They're like a hole. They're all connected like a chain gang.
Yeah, they have to wear their little their reflective jackets, and then they have the little chain.
They're held onto, and then they're moving through, and you can't get around them. I don't endorse any of this.
We should do that as a show when we go out together. Just have like a little so we
oh
don't have them
gosh.
Get lost.
Harnesses. Right. I never thought of a harness.
Or Baby Bjorn or whatever, just for Violetta.
Hey, I got to keep track of you guys when we go out. Please.
Okay. No, that's true. All right. Can you just, let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news.
Where have all your Twitter followers gone?
I don't know. I want them back.
Violetta?
Then there's this, old-fashioned sweet shops, ancient fossils, and a place where Christmas cheer lasts all year. Quirky Destinations, Cruise in Indiana, Thursday on WGN TV News at 9.
Croatia just scored.
So,
England
is down
about
one.
5 minutes. No, but...
They still got about another 20 minutes or so to go.
Okay.
They're Let's up 2-1 two on England.
Let's go.
You want Croatia to win?
Yeah, I figured... I mean, I cheer for them. I don't think they want to cheer for us.
Thousands of years of informed hatred between the Serbians and the Croats?
Well,
and
the hatred is kind of one way. We don't really...
Oh.
I thought it was both ways.
I think they would. Yeah, I just sort of remember
well,
it being both
would.
Ways. I think. All right. I think when the snipers in Sarajevo were aiming, I think there was hatred going both ways. Yeah.
We're all the same.
When you move to this country, you forget all those things.
Yeah. That's
the
right.
Old country.
No, not really.
I know. No. The Greeks and the Turks don't either, by the way.
Well, the thing is, we would cheer for Croatia. I don't think Croatia would cheer for Serbia.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That's the point you were just trying to make.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't need this kind of unhappiness here. We have enough unhappiness in America. But imagine the Queen tonight, if England loses this thing.
She's hosting the president.
She's hosting Donald Trump. She's got, and she hates him. Ooh, no. Tell him I'm ill. I'm sick. I can't do it. I've got a tummy upset. Oh, man.
That'll be fascinating, don't you think, to see that? You think all the ways of greeting a queen and
right, and you're supposed to show deference when you do that. I don't know how that's going to work out. All right, Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, hold on a second.
Start
I practiced this so, Raj, so many times. I have practiced this
Because, just call him Raj.
I'm just going to call him Raj. Congressman Raj is joining us. I think that's the best way to do this because, you know, it's apparently it's the only way I can actually do it. So, Raj, sorry about that.
Hi, Raj.
How are you guys?
Good. I think it's Raja.
It is Raja. I'm calling him Raj.
You might get a kick out of this. I went to a restaurant and met a friend, and he told his daughter that he was going to go meet with Congressman Raja. And the daughter asked, could you tell Raja to say hi to Aladdin and Iago?
Oh, very Disney-fied. I see that. I like that. Yes, as a stockholder, I really appreciate it. All right, Congressman, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Washington here. You got before we get to the Supreme Court, I know you got your thoughts on that. But, you know, that's going to happen more in the Senate. That's going to be in your chamber. But the president is in Europe. He has met with our NATO allies, and he gave an earful to them today, especially about Germany, and they're so concerned about Germany. And he's saying that Germany just cut a deal with Russia for a pipeline that is going to be feeding Russian gasoline and Russian oil into Germany, and he claims it's 60% of their oil supply. So, you know, don't look at us. Look at them.
So I saw these comments by the president this earlier today. So here's where I come out on this. I think that we have to do everything we can to preserve and strengthen the NATO alliance. At the same time, we have to be candid with our allies about our differences of opinion. Where I agree with the president is I think that we should bring to light some of the concerns that we have about their spending on defense and maybe their over-reliance on Russia for certain energy supplies and whether they would consider other sources. But sometimes the way in which he expresses those concerns is a concern to me because I think that it helps basically drive a wedge between us and our allies and hurt an important security framework that helps the United States.
Do you think this was a move the president was putting pressure on them in several areas, but one that's been suggested is that they should be paying to involve themselves more in U.S. energy rather than giving the billions to Russia?
I think that they are maybe over-reliant on Russian energy supplies, and perhaps they should diversify their sources. I'm not sure if the president suggested to them that they should buy more energy from the United States, but I do know that there's a longstanding concern among European allies that the Germans are sourcing too much of their energy from the Russians, and in the process maybe exposing themselves to Russian pressure in other ways.
Well, all right. What are your thoughts on NATO? I mean, I think there's a debate. I had no idea that we were ever going to be in this situation, but there's a debate now on whether or not there should be a NATO. Should there be a debate about NATO?
I think there should absolutely be a NATO. I think that the North Atlantic Alliance is crucial for our security as Americans. It basically allows us to project our security umbrella further into Europe, and we have troops there, we have vital interests there, we have allies and vital economic interests as well. So absolutely it's essential for us.
All right, well, let's get to the Supreme Court. Well, actually, before that, let me go to Russia first, because mm-hmm. the president's going to move from this to Helsinki, Finland, where he's going to meet with Vladimir Putin. Do you have any concerns about that meeting, and what do you think the worst case and best case scenarios could be?
I think the best case scenario is that the president expresses our strong concerns about Russian interference and Western democracies, warns them against further interference in our own elections in the United States, which are coming up here in 2018 and then later in 2020, and basically maintains unity with our allies in terms of our general concerns about Russia interference in the West and their aggression towards some of their neighbors. the worst case, concessions that the president made to the Russians without getting anything in return, or, you know, basically signaling to them that they have a green light or, you know, basically it's open season to continue their aggression.
Congressman, your phone is breaking up pretty significantly, so we're gonna have to cut this short anyway. But appreciate your time, sir, as always, and we're gonna send you a lovely parting gift of a free cell phone. That's what we're going to do, or a drop phone of some sort.
Thank you, Congressman.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurti.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. That's the way to do it. All right, we've got Judy Pilak coming up with the WGN News in two. Listening after 4:30 for your chance to win family four-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes, hotel guest rooms today. Book online, chicagoblackhawks.com. Tom Skilling being brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems, of course. And Tom, thank you so much for being with us, as you always are.
On the glorious day, we should say.
It is a beautiful day. Do you know something? I have to be honest. I was sitting here working, monitoring the show, as I always do. I thought we were going at 4:10. So it's a pleasure to be here, no matter what time it takes place. So
thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for always being ready for us, Tom.
Oh, I'll tell you. That's why I keep the earphones plugged in and the volume turned up.
See, you're a consummate professional, Tom, and you got bumped by Lester Holt today.
Well, let me tell you, Lester can bump me anytime he wants. You know, one of my favorite people.
Yep. All right, let me ask you a question here.
Yeah.
Were you Team Croatia or Team England? Which one were you?
I'm an agnostic.
You're an agnostic. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to make anybody mad. I understand.
Honestly, Ro, I'll tell you something. I'm not an expert enough in these issues that I can make an intelligent.
Who cares? I mean, any of us are.
Are you watching any of it though? The World Cup? Have you been engaged by it?
I love the announcers on that. You know, the guy who goes, the one who screams about goals. And
yes. They all do. That's the new thing. They all have their own thing. Yeah,
it goes on about.
I think goals,
minutes.
Goal. Yeah. I think even in Chinese, it's goal, yeah.
Yeah, probably is. You usually can understand it, that's for sure.
Right.
You know when it's happening.
Mm-hmm. I marvel at their respiratory systems, you know, that they can keep something like that going for the amount of time they do. It's pretty amazing.
It's incredible shape.
Who are you guys
incredible
for?
Athletes. I was for England, but that's no longer the case, so I have to find someone new.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go for Croatia.
I think just because of my...
Boris, Croatia?
But he'd be down for it. But it also, he also knows how to do that long... You could go on forever.
Cool.
Can you imagine Harry Carey doing something like that, or Jack Burkowski keeping that going, and, you know, or their guys now.
Right.
I'd like to hear Harry try to pronounce some of these names on the soccer field.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
I know.
Hey. Persiak Domachakovic. Will winning goal.
I know. Yeah.
Mario Mandzukic is the guy who scored the game-winning goal, so
Mario
that might be a tough one.
Mandzukic backwards.
Oh, gosh, don't even try it.
Is chicken to Zumba.
What does it rhyme with?
Mm-hmm. There was a guy. Okay. Now, there's something I would like to say that I've noticed in the soccer world happens.
Yes.
And this is going to get a little, you know, it's a little dicey, but I'm going to just go with me on it for
okay.
a second.
Okay.
Guys will, you know, they like to fake an injury in this.
Oh,
like they
yeah.
get kicked in the leg and then they get on the ground because they want to buy time or they want to do, you know, or they want to try to get a penalty kick or something
it
like that.
It seems worse than basketball in that way.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't realize that until watching the World Cup.
Big floppers. And now, but the problem is that every once in a while a guy actually does get hurt. And there was an unspeakable injury today on England. They had to pull the guy out. And that's England was down one man for the last couple of minutes here because a guy. I got kicked right in the groinal region, which happens.
Oh, gee.
And now what? I don't know if it's Europe or just the rest of the world. You know, America's shy about that sort of thing. This guy's pulling his pants leg, his shorts leg up and around.
Oh.
To expose his strap-a-lap-a-ding-dong down there, you know, that's got the thing.
On television? They're cutting away to him?
No, they're showing him because it's Russian television. So they, you know, we're taking the Russian feed.
So they're zooming in?
Yeah, for Fox, because, you know, apparently they're in cahoots too. And so it's Russian's like
control.
The whole thing has got the whole deal going down there. And you're like, oh, no.
Maybe that'll come up in the discussion with Putin.
Yeah,
coming up, you know. But on the other hand, you know, if you're hurt badly enough, I suppose the pain is almost.
I don't know. If you're wearing shorts, do you really then start to like? I don't think air helps.
No,
I don't know. It's sort of like you know. Somebody breathe on it.
Well, he wants to check and make sure it's all okay, right? Yeah. That it's all there and accounted for.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. And then it's colder out here. Yeah. Who's got the ice? Oh God. Because it is a moment. I don't know. That's the one thing. You know, women always talk about childbirth and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's bad.
Yeah. And?
But there is no pain like that pain.
No, that's got to be a close second, even if it's not in the same
league. I don't even know where that pain. That's
the stomach
pain.
Ache that comes after the initial contact is the worst part.
Right.
It's just, what's happening inside me? What is this? Is there an alien inside my stomach?
Right. It does feel like an alien's going to come popping out because it works. It your whole body gets involved in it.
Yeah. Guess what? Childbirth, a real child actually pops out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's that. I mean, okay. Oh, that's a big deal. I get it.
It's kind of, yes.
Well, now, Ro, who are you for?
Well, now I'm for France. France, as Johnny Depp would call it.
Yeah.
But I was in England, so I was just, I was for England because I was so feeling badly for the Queen of England today because she hates Donald Trump and has to have dinner with him.
She's going to have tea with him, too.
Love to be a little mouse in that room?
Yeah. Oh, how awkward. Brother.
And you know when people get to, like, she's 90, right?
Yeah.
So when you're, like, 90, you'll just say anything. Right, I mean, isn't
that's
she?
True.
Shouldn't she be like, you really are disgusting?
Yes, disgusting. Yep.
I think the English are a little passive aggressive, so she might just sort of, you know, smile, but you know what she's thinking.
How pointing at Melania? How young is that one?
Now, which one is this?
How did you hook up with this one?
Yeah,
just daughter.
Yeah.
So that's not Ivanka, is it? Right. I mean. There's a lot that could happen.
I'd
love to hear it all.
She is so lovely and gracious looking. It's kind of good that he brought her along because I'll tell you, it lends at least a degree of
no one's buying
class
it.
No,
them.
I was. No, did you see her with Macron's wife? They were just so close and laughing and looked very did not look like it was fake. And she speaks five languages, so I'm sure that helps when you're at NATO.
I don't think it helps. I think it helps. Yes. I mean, it's great. I think it's also great for Slovenia, but I don't think it's so great for the president. I don't think that it can for people go, oh, well, look, he married to her. How bad could it be? I think we all know.
I know there's, you know, of course, I think we all have, you know, we feel sorry for her, you know, and what's gone on.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's just, it's just got to be tough to.
I didn't pay off the porn star. Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
I know. Can you imagine living with that?
Oh, let me just tell you something.
Airwaves.
Well, it's only going to get worse because even if Michael Cohen doesn't have criminal goods, there's certainly going to be things about that. And there's one journalist, a legit journalist too, not just a blogger, but a legit journalist who works for one of the major publications on the East Coast, who is absolutely convinced. That we that the untold story here is about how Cohen's other that guy the West Coast guy who paid for the abortion for the Playboy model or whatever she was that story is not exactly as it has been reported and that's going to reflect very badly on the president and that's this guy's contention and the thing is that it will be proven one way or another by Michael Cohen's records.
But that's more of a personal smear, isn't it? That's not something that Bob Mueller would care about.
It has nothing to do with Bob Mueller. This is
or any sort of legal circumstances. I mean, wouldn't that just be more of a personal smear?
Oh, I think when Avenatti asks for discovery from those computers, and they find that. That's a leakage issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. That's the kind of thing that lawyers get a hold of and then they leak it to somebody.
Do you think that will matter, given what we've gone through up to this point?
No, nothing matters.
Because, there really is almost some truth to the fact that he said he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nothing would happen.
I think that's totally true. And, you know, and he the point that Michael Che joke from Saturday Night Live from a year ago, where after the president basically admits to Lester Holt coming your way at 4:10 right here, that he was thinking about the Russia thing when he fired Comey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stop on the tape and Michael Che goes, "That's it. We got him. That's it. He did it, right? No, no, no one cares. No, wait.
Yeah.
You know, nothing matters anymore. No. I mean, it really doesn't matter essentially to people. And I've started to understand, although I will tell you in my little trip last week, I was talking to a bunch of people in Michigan who were Trump supporters. Who they love the idea of the Supreme Court and they love the idea of the tax cuts, but they don't like anything else. And you do wonder if that's going to impact this upcoming midterm election and what that means for 2020.
Yeah. Don't you think this unfolding trade situation is going to be interesting to watch? It's kind of scary where we may be going with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, wasn't that the rap on Hoover that he brought on the Great Depression with
Smoot-Hawley? There's a lot of he's monkeying with things that he doesn't really know too much about, which is a problem. I mean, all the people, whether it was Gary Cohen, on down, the people around him, he's got people who are just afraid of him or sycophants or people like his kind of bluster and they dig being around him because, you know, he's a billionaire who likes to throw his money around and show people a good time, right? I mean, he's that kind of a guy. So he can win friends and influence people fairly easily. But I think there are, you know, like a Larry Kudlow's, you know, always down for a good time, you know, except when he's having a heart attack.
See?
And then those guys are going to kind of go along with him. Or there are other people who are, you know, single issue folks who, you know, believed why no one ever believed that tariffs would be good for us kind of people who are around him. But the people who, you know, live in a world in which, especially in a markets based world like Gary Cohen did when he was running Goldman Sachs. You know, they get that, you know, what this is really going to result in because they've had experience with it. But Donald Trump, you give him, you know, he's consistent. I mean, he's been talking about this for 30 years.
He has.
Because he doesn't seem to understand what a trade, or either he doesn't understand or he'd like to misrepresent for political purposes what a trade deficit is. We don't lose money. You know, if there's a trade deficit of, let's say it's $1 billion, let's say with, you know, whatever country, with Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
And we have $1 billion trade deficit with Uzbekistan. But the thing is, if we're... If
very
our
nice country, by the way.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. It's great in the summertime.
It is.
Are they in the World Cup this year?
Yeah.
I believe they just won.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that they that if we're selling a bunch of stuff to Uzbekistan, if we're still selling $500 billion worth of stuff to them, and then we're buying $501 billion back from them, we still made $500 billion. Right?
You know, the thing that I wonder about is at what point may the Chinese get so mad at us that they decide to pull the $1.3 trillion of our debt that they own out?
Right. That's a real concern. Also, that they would find other markets for things like soybeans. You saw the president tweeting about that today, talking about soybeans in particular falling. He says that they fell 50% from 2012 to my election, and that he's helping the soybean farmers, but that's a harder sell when you're engaging with China in this way, and they buy such a large percentage of our farmers' soybeans. Where does this end with this, you know, trade situation in China, and do they then go somewhere else to get them?
Is that true, though? But, I mean, when the president tweets those things and says those things, we have to fact-check all of that.
All I'm saying is that he, obviously, it's on his mind, the soybean farmers, and he's trying to say that he's helping them, but I don't think anyone could argue that the current situation helps soybean farmers.
No, and I think soybean farmers are good. But I think a lot of them are like, well, this will blow over. I think
that's the hope and belief that this is a sort of a tactic to get an end, a means to an end.
Yeah, and the fact that a whole, what is it, $200 billion more in potential tariffs on the Chinese, for instance, are laying in wait, you know, and this kind of suggests this is not over yet.
There are a couple of, first of all, the Chinese have not been good actors in the world economy for a very long time.
It's true.
Stealing intellectual property, doing shadow manufacturing with our own patents, being very protective of patents, and then when we have patents over there, they won't grant them except to Ivanka Trump, which I think is very interesting in her whole business. Did you see, by the way, the Trump 2020 flags that they are doing, that they have manufactured for their campaign?
No,
all made in China. Trump 2020 for the campaign. Isn't that amazing?
Spending a lot of time there.
Yeah.
Well, I can see an ad on that, huh?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah,
but this is going to be
It's going to be an ugly.
But China's not really. With China, there does seem to be some sense to this. Europe, Canada, no sense whatsoever.
I know. None.
Yeah. Because especially if you're in an allied situation where you're paying to stabilize where you may be, you may be buying more goods from a nation than you are selling them. Mm-hmm. Does not necessarily mean you're losing to that nation. Sometimes that's helpful to their economy. And if that's helpful to their economy, the United States doesn't have to win every single economic. It's not even a war. I mean, when you just look at this, it doesn't. Some other country's selling more stuff to us than we're buying from them. Okay, right?
Isn't there surplus with Canada, though, on our part, if you consider...
Yes, there is, with everything, yeah.
Services and all that
I think I had
stuff.
That backwards. But the point is, if they're selling us more, we're buying more from them than they're buying from us, doesn't necessarily mean... If they're still buying a lot of stuff from us, and those companies that are selling, like the soybean farmers, we're selling to China, they're happy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a... A lot of this is... It's a misunderstanding. It's like the NATO thing. It's a misunderstanding of what it is. It's not a transaction. The NATO countries are paying their own militaries. And if they're not paying enough to their own militaries, that's the argument that they should be doing more of that so that we don't have to do so much of the defense. But it's not like they owe us money. They're not supposed to be paying the United States anything or NATO anything. They're paying themselves something. And he makes that what really drives me nuts, and I got to stop here for the break, but what really drives me nuts is the fact thinks that the people he's talking to are dumb enough not to understand the difference.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he thinks that. And I don't know why people who he's talking to about it don't go, well, and that's the difference. These people in Michigan I was talking to, which is like, they get it. They understand. They are not as dumb as he thinks they are, that they're just going to buy this stuff hook, line, and sinker. Although they do like the Supreme Court and they do like the tax cuts.
And a lot of people like the economy, too.
But the economy is often bigger than the government, right? There's
absolutely
other things that go on. But government can get in the way of an economy. It doesn't necessarily propel an economy, at least in the long term.
It certainly helps in an election.
All right. Tom,
well, that kind of covers the bases.
Gotta go.
Gotta
go now. Thank you.
Well, the world is a better place for this discussion.
Yes,
for
sure. So. Don't you know it, Tom Skilling?
And by the way, I love the Canadian air mass we were in yesterday.
Yes.
It came down the lake. I don't want them to build a wall,
Hey, you're running my picture tonight, speaking of Canadian air mass?
Yes, we are. It is in the list, and I think we're on normal time tonight. Right.
That sounded like a maybe to me. Are you
sure?
The
only uncertainty is if we're not on normal time tonight, but I think we are. So,
all right. Okay.
It runs tonight, Ro.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Guys.
I'll grade you on your performance tomorrow.
Yes, thank
all
you.
All right,
sir.
You're welcome. Let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top?
A homeless Florida man with no arms charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist.
Some fancy footwork. Violetta? He's our friend. He's Lester Holt from the NBC Nightly News. Joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. All right, Lester, first of all, let's start with this. England versus Croatia. This was an amazingly great World Cup semifinal. Very dramatic.
It was. We didn't get a lot of work. We didn't get a lot of work here done during that match, but it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I walked to work along the river today from like the West Loop area, and all along, everyone who was within eyesight was somehow watching the World Cup. It feels as if a lot of people getting into this.
Well, I think a lot of people thought maybe the matchup would be England-France for obviously historic reasons, but right. This is going to be fun. We got a big screen TV here at Rockefeller Center out on the plaza, and people were out there enjoying the game, so we would hear their cheers because they were ahead of our picture here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So you hear people cheering, it's like 1001, 1002, and then something happens.
A lot of work not getting done, but a lot of excitement.
Right. It was interesting because Croatia is basically a Cinderella here in this. And England, people thought England was the team. You know, this is like the perfect team
here. This was the year.
This is the year for them. And then the Queen's got... You know, then she's going to have, you know, she's having tea with Donald Trump, and then she's losing to Croatia. She's having a rough day. That's all I'm going to say.
It's a big week.
Yeah, that is. There's a lot going on there. But it is amazing how much interest there is here. Domestic soccer still hasn't really taken off, but international soccer, and as you know, when teams come in, Soldier Field hosts, a major friendly every year. And this year it's Manchester City, which won the FA Cup. Up, and that's a big, big, big deal. And they're taking on German team with a Russian name. I don't know. I can't understand anything that goes on in this game. But you know, those things sell out immediately. It's just amazing.
It is.
Well, plus the diversity of our big cities. You have people who come from countries that that soccer is king, and so it's fun. Their passion and excitement is kind of infectious. And I feel the same way about the World Cup. I don't follow. Soccer from month to month, or even year to year, but there's something about this moment. I think everybody gets into it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, and then national pride, and the Croatians jumping up and down, and the English like, I don't know. Now what do we do? We're supposed to leave the European Union again. What do we do now?
Back to Brexit talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I think it is very interesting that the majority of the English team are English immigrants. And that is, it's one of those, we're in this nationalist moment, and I think that there isn't enough respect that is given to, why immigration is a good thing on every level, from it's whether it's sports or arts, but just in terms of labor and people who want to be a part of, whatever it is that you've created, whether you're England or the United States or whatever. It's an interesting moment to reflect upon that, I think. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of that, let's talk about what happened here as the president was meeting with NATO. And he kind of gave a little bit of a what for to Germany for cutting this deal with Russia for the gas pipeline.
Yeah, he seemed to be cocked and loaded for this one. It was at a breakfast, actually, even before he sat down with Angela Merkel. But he went off on this idea that Germany has signed this new energy deal and getting a lot of its energy from Russia. And at the same time, in his world, they're not paying enough. They're waiting on the U.S. to cover them militarily. And he took a broadside and then apparently continued it behind closed doors. But, Angela Merkel reminded him that she came from East Germany and knows about Russian domination, and that's not the case here.
Maybe you'll know this, maybe you'll know this, Lester. Why is it that this was televised? Why are we seeing so much of it? As I recall, in the past, there wasn't this kind of transparency. We saw the entire exchange, it seemed, or quite a bit of it during that breakfast that you described.
I'm not clear if it was supposed to be a photo op, and then he took advantage of it at that moment. That's not a bit clear. And the actual meetings obviously happened behind closed doors, but that one that was for everyone to see.
It certainly was. And he launched in, pay up on NATO defense, and then went on, of course, about the energy deals as well with Russia.
Yeah, now he's talking about even doubling the amount that countries would have to come up with, like 4% of their economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I mean, the whole idea of this 2% of your economy going to your own defense is something that, depending on the size of the economy, you can buy some really great stuff. But for some of the smaller economies, you're still not going to be able to build up to defend yourself as well as you know, the bigger countries around you. Obviously, Germany is the largest economy in Europe, so they're going to be okay. And they should be spending 2%. Although there was a reason, you know, there, for a long time, we didn't want the Germans building anything. We wanted to build it all for them, right? I mean, you know, you grew up in a military family. You remember this?
I think they're paying about a 1.25%.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's fine. You know, because, I mean, based on with the way they used to spend money on the military, I'm kind of okay with it.
But is Germany pledging now to meet that, is it 2024 deadline in order to get to that 2%? Or is this still negotiating? Are they still negotiating?
I think the group is still committed to this goal of 2% by that deadline. And that's why the president kind of surprised everyone by saying, well, maybe we should make it 4%, which is more than the U.S. is paying right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. Okay. Well, but he wants to spend that money because he thinks that's money well spent. Obviously, those are good, high-paying jobs, and a lot of those are proprietary American jobs because you can't outsource certain parts of military spending for security purposes. So that does make some sort of sense. But the United States, he's spending a lot of money here. I don't know where the Republicans who were screaming about deficits and debts and have always been worried about it, whether it was, you know, during the Obama years or years prior to that, we're spending this. They don't seem to be upset about it right now. And we are spending a lot more than we're taking in. And
at the same time, a few weeks ago, we saw him in South Korea talking about ending. He wants to ultimately bring troops out of there. And of course, he's going to stop those exercises there. And part of the things he cites is the cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you guys are also for NBC Nightly News tonight. There's a follow up on what happened here in Thailand with these kids now in a hospital. We're seeing the first pictures of them from the hospital and
they're
talking.
Apparently doing okay.
Yeah. And some of the parents are talking now. And extraordinary. Don't you see this as, you know, one of those kind of like Deepwater Horizon kind of movies, right? You know, like where.
Yeah. Or remember the movie they did on in Chile? Remember the miners that were trapped, 33 miners trapped underground? It is amazing. And the coach, who's 25 years old, and he gave a lot of his rations to the kids as we would expect him to do. But he apparently wrote an apology letter to the families, and you know, from what we're seeing, they don't seem to be angry right now. They're just grateful that, you know,
everybody's okay.
He helped get the kids.
You could see,
and I guess he helped him with meditation while they were trapped.
Oh.
You can only imagine how strong he had to be as the only adult in there, just trying to keep these kids, you know, together long enough to be ultimately rescued out of there. Amazing.
Yeah, it's every. I can't read enough about this. Every little bit. I mean, apparently they had put them on anti-anxiety medications to bring them out. You know, the fact that they were on, I guess, gurneys at some point or stretchers. It's remarkable they pulled this off.
It is.
And Elon Musk's little submarine is still sitting there waiting to be used.
In case you need it, it's there.
Well, hopefully.
I'm thankful it
wasn't needed. You know?
Yeah, that's true. They got everybody out. Yeah. Actually, when you see there's been some animation that shows how it was done, and then there's also some video that was taken while they were moving, because they weren't submerged the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was hours to get in, hours to get out. But they're moving in the very sharp, hard, and slippery all at the same time conditions in these caves. And it's pretty chill-inducing when you look at it.
It is.
Yeah, and then we found out today that the main water pump failed right after the last boy was out, so essentially flooding much of the cave again. So, I mean, the timing couldn't have been better.
Wow. What an amazing story. All right, we'll see you tonight. NBC Nightly News and Lester Holt coming your way at 5:30 on NBC 5. Thanks so much, Lester.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up in your news at the bottom of the hour?
An expensive song and dance aboard a Delta flight.
Very good. Violetta?
100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience, and it's all this August.
It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, Architect of Chicagoland is going to heat up your backyard, giving away a sizzling backyard makeover that includes a 14-foot diameter patio and wood-burning fire pit.
Wow.
Cozy up all year round. Everything's made with Belgard, Rin Laziano, or Medino-style paving stones. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and enter to win. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. That's WGNRadio.com/contest. Brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland, Better Building by Design. It's very fun.
I had not heard of those pavers by name, but they look beautiful.
Thank you.
On your patio.
And tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, we'll get to see them again.
Yes, the whole show is coming over for this.
A party.
Moment. And I got a call today.
Mm-hmm. This a little disturbing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little disturbing.
I was there when it happened. You're like, what?
Actually, it was a text from my assistant who helps me with all these things, helps me get my life together.
Mm-hmm. How's that going?
Because I have to pay people to do that. They yeah. don't do it because they love me. That's the only way that actually kind of works. But that said, Ro, don't worry. I'll be at your house because, you know, she's going to help set up for this thing tomorrow.
She's so
we're working,
organized.
And then we're going to go show up and she's going to, you know, have the whole thing ready for us. And the so I get this text from her that says, I'll be at your house at 10:30 unless you think I should be there earlier, and Violetta will be there between 10:30 and 11. And I'm like,
what?
A, how does Violetta work her way in?
How does they even know each other?
Contacting my assistant to get this thing done. How does that work?
I thought you didn't want to be bothered with minor details. So I just thought I'd speak directly to her.
Oh, my God.
How does that get to be a done deal
will
without
you, be
you
gone?
Never?
Because no. I just feel like you're going to be in the way.
How do you know the assistant? That's the question here.
How do you, phone numbers? I mean, what happened?
Somehow she's been able to figure this out.
I don't know your people's information.
Wow.
Not just yours, Ro.
She's Miss NSA over there, Violetta. Wow, watch out.
I know. Serbian National Security Services or whatever it would be.
We are Snoopy people.
Yeah. There's something that's gone on there. That's very interesting.
Well, I just want to drop some things off for her to set up for the theme. I won't tell you guys yet what it is.
Oh, there's a theme?
Another theme party.
What's wrong with the theme?
Well, you got to tell us. Then it's no fun.
We came up with this party on Monday. And somehow, by Thursday, it's got to have a theme.
There's I have special drinks, special theme for all the
decorations.
Will
there be Miller Lite?
Sure.
Perfect.
Yes.
Will there be vodka?
Yes, there will be vodka. Do you want to know what the special drink is?
Jello shots?
Not really.
Okay, well, we'll just talk. You guys are no fun. Well, when you guys said we couldn't do the Rager theme, which would have been fun.
I believe that my neighbors didn't like the idea of the Rager theme. I'm just trying to be respectful of them, that's all.
I was going to set up a whole beer pong table, really get down. But instead...
In my house.
Well, outside on the patio, yeah. It gets a little messy sometimes, so you have to do it outside.
Okay. What is, we don't get to know the theme today?
I don't, do you want to know the theme? Yeah. No, tomorrow, we'll wait tomorrow.
Well, why wouldn't you tell us so we could prepare,
dress and stuff?
There's nothing you guys need to do.
Do I need a grass skirt?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Togas? I mean,
are there going to be palm
I am trying to figure out.
You guys want to participate with a toga?
I want to call one of those emergency board up companies to come to my house and board up everything above, like inside the house, so that she can only go out on the patio.
Keep her focused.
Because the patio, you know, it's kind of weatherproofed, right? So there's only limited things she can break out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to break anything. It's going to be a fun event at your house. And I will be there to set up, so you don't even have to worry about it. I'm not cleaning up, though.
Okay. That's the part that I don't fully understand. Was that when I get this text, I'm like, what do you mean Violetta's coming over between 10:30 and 11 in the morning? How does she get to do that?
I don't like to give her specifics either. I'm like, well, between 10:30 and 11, I'll be there.
Will you be home? I told her
I'm not going to be home now.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I said, I'm like,
what time are you leaving?
Because Violetta's coming over. I have to leave. Now, this is that was not what I was planning for my Thursday morning. I don't have to work tomorrow morning. I'm like, I'm just going to hang out.
No, go do something. Get some lunch.
Oh, God.
Kevin, get him out of the house. I need to set some things up. Have a boy's morning.
Oh, my God. I'm
sleeping in tomorrow.
It was, I mean, you saw the reaction on my face because it was,
you
I was like alarmed.
You were horrified. I didn't know what you had just learned. You saw your phone and then you're like, what? How? Who? Do they? I didn't know they had each other's phone numbers. I didn't know how this got done.
I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Okay. Because when you come over to my house, you snoop and you go through everything, and you and you're. And
I won't. Now this has turned into a project for Roe. He's gonna have to secure the perimeter tonight. Yeah. He's gonna have to walk the whole house, make sure it's everything's child locked for Violetta.
She does an Insta story from my shower. Right. It's like something. It's like this is not. You're not supposed to be anywhere. You're allowed to be out on the architect deck.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the rule.
And the room outside, well, inside the architect deck, and then
you
the
go
kitchen.
To the kitchen to get some water.
Yeah, you can go to the kitchen. In the living room, you go. There's
and
four levels here. You can
the
go to two
I
levels.
I have to go use the bathroom.
That's there's
it's
a bathroom.
2018. It's not the time to be snooping around bosses' houses, Violetta.
I know.
You get somebody in
hey,
trouble
wait a second.
Here.
Hey, wait, what does that mean?
Nothing. Just be safe, Violetta. Mm,
yeah, you could run into some things.
Ro, you better watch out.
I just feel bad for Ro.
Yeah.
Now,
I know.
Now we like, can't rest easy now for like, right. 48 hours.
And I actually have to count all the silverware. I don't know. There's like I don't know what to do.
She's going to get all the
Boris
coats.
Boris is going to help me bring
Boris
over all
gonna
of the stuff for the setup.
Say goodbye to your flat screen TVs.
All right. Okay.
Put everything in the safe. I imagine
you don't have
to
worry about anything.
We did wonder what would happen if Boris were a soccer announcer and mm-hmm. someone scored a goal. What would that sound like? It's got to be longer than that. That's a short one.
That's just a nice kick pass.
Yeah. That's what that is. All right. Boris is not coming, right?
No.
Tomorrow?
Right? No, it's not that kind of party. Right?
We've got enough stretches already that Violetta's created. I don't think
right.
we need Boris around.
Right, I don't think we do.
No.
I mean, we've got Bronco's coming.
That's awesome. I love seeing Bronco.
Bronco's
we all
fine.
Do. Yeah.
But then she sends him away, which is like an amazing thing. He shows up with all this food, and he's so gracious and so nice. He's trying to
best.
Fix stuff in my house.
Yes.
I fix, don't worry, I fix.
And he wants to make sure everybody's doing okay and has everything you need, and he cooks just exactly what he thinks you'll love, and oh my gosh, the best.
Well, and then it's time to go, you know?
Yeah, like Violetta yells at him, tells him to get in the car.
No, I do not. He's very busy. He's got to go. He's got to go check on the restaurant.
And then he pulls his pulls up in his Hot Wheels and everything.
Oh, yeah. He's got a 65 Cadillac, white.
Hide your girlfriends when that car rolls around and Bronco's in the front seat.
Seriously.
Actually, it isn't a front seat. It's a milk crate that he sits on.
No, it's very nice inside. The front seat lays down. You can make a bed.
It's stealing girlfriends and wives.
Oh,
that's very
more.
Interesting. Well, I think Bronco, it sounds to me like he spent some nights in that car when they didn't allow him, when Mama Pod didn't allow him back in the house. All right, hold on a second. Here we go. If Boris were a soccer announcer and someone scored a goal.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That is why people hate soccer.
The stadium turns into a club. There's like a massive fog machine, strobe lights.
All right.
Thanks,
what do
Boris.
We have? You know what? We got Judy Pilak. She's got the news in two. If you right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, you win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention, Chicago Hilton, July 27th through 29th. Get your convention passes and guest rooms today online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. I had a really bad day.
Oh, what happened, DJ Guy?
Well, turns out that... I had one of my brothers in sound, the DJ that we knew he had all that trouble with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he groped her in that picture. There was pretty close to photographic evidence of that.
And now he says his life's been ruined. And basically, the only problem with that statement is that if you're a DJ, your life's always going to get ruined at some point. Then you're going to come back and you're going to be ruined again.
Do you have advice for him?
Stay ruined. Keep your expectations low.
And stay away from that suitcase. What do you have in it again? Or your briefcase that you bring to work with you every day?
Bottle of Jack Daniels or a revolver and headphones. Or if you like to call them cans.
Oh, gosh. There is a story today.
Yeah, what was that
there
all about?
There is a story today from page six.
Oh, yeah.
You know the old page six. Story about your David post. Mueller, the DJ convicted of groping Taylor Smith, mm-hmm. Swift, excuse me.
Well, not convicted, but found negligent.
Yeah, you're right. Negligent. That's right. It was a civil case.
Right.
This story says convicted. He was famously ordered to pay the $1 to her. Well, now he's speaking out about how his whole life has changed. It's been ruined. And he can't understand how Taylor Swift could even live with herself after ruining his life, specifically his relationship with the ladies.
He says he's now afraid to even talk to women. Radio DJ man, are you ever afraid to talk to women?
It really, I'm not. No. Now they're afraid to talk back to me. I'll tell you that right now.
He says he was always the gentleman. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll buy him a drink right after this.
Even saying, I would always say, this is his quote, hey, watch your language. There's a lady here.
That's what I always say, too. You always got to be very pleasant with the ladies around.
Oh.
Because it's ladies' night. Because after I'm done with my shift, I go over to the local bar where I DJ the ladies' night as well.
I'm not sure. You're supposed to say, hey, watch your language. There's a lady
Hey, watch
here.
Your language. There's a lady in the
is
room.
Is that the right defense?
What are you giving away at ladies' night?
Ladies' night, it's not a family four-pack. I'll tell you that right now. Not a family yet.
You're giving away a family. And you're starting it.
Giving away actually a family four-pack. It's a husband and two kids.
Oh, no.
Because that's what the ladies want anyway, right? That's why they're at the bar.
Do you talk to them at the bar? What do you say?
Hello, ladies.
Is that it?
That's all I know.
And now they're not talking back too much, it sounds like. That's what he's saying. It's not going well.
Yeah, we got some cool in the gang right here. Everybody put your hands together, get on that dance floor. Because it's ladies' night at the Snickle Snatch.
I can only imagine his moves. I mean, I wonder how he was doing with the ladies before this, that he can notice the big difference.
He's a sunglasses inside dude, for
yeah,
sure.
Oh, yeah, sunglasses inside. He's also like 4'11" and about 250.
So when he's up on the stage, he looks kind of tall.
Right.
But then he steps down to talk to the
ladies. He's the guy in the parking lot smoking a cigarette in a satin jacket. That's who DJ guy is.
Oh.
That's how you win the ladies.
Right. With his headphones around his neck.
Oh,
you know?
No.
After work?
Just
so people know. Right,
yeah.
So people know that he's still a DJ.
You may have seen me up there.
Yeah, I was back there in the booth, in case you're wondering.
May have to quick release, get back to work, so you're ready.
Me. Yeah.
He's also quick to talk to the waitress, you know? Hey, I'm the DJ.
Hey,
I'll
be good to your waiters and waitresses. They're working for a living.
Oh, man. All right.
So, yeah, I guess we're supposed to feel badly for him because he says now.
It's all been ruined.
I think he never had much of a love life anyway.
The actual real guy here. Now, was he married? I guess he wasn't married, right?
I thought he was married.
I don't know about that. Let's look.
Because where's the little lady on this one? Where is she going to be?
David Mueller is his name.
Yeah. She was undoubtedly his, like, weather girl or something, right? That was his producer. That's how that always goes.
Promotions assistant.
Right, promotions assistant. He married the promotions assistant, yeah. And then she took him for all his money.
All right.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that. That was such a bad thing. Hey, speaking of fun with audio,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to run this past you. Let's do this first. Let's check in with Judy and then Violetta. And then the other side, Meghan Markle has apparently grown a British accent. She's been a princess. What is she? She's not
a
princess.
She's a duchess. Duchess. Mm-hmm.
You can call her a princess, though. I consider her a princess.
She's the Duchess of Sussex. And she's already affected by it.
I mean, she's an actress. She picks things up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a DJ. I picked up a few things. Chlamydia. But rage in case of herpes.
When ladies' night fights back.
Oh, no.
I got a power of love. Look, Huey Lewis in the news for you right here. All right, everybody, I need you out on the dance floor. I'll tell you something, though. They got a lot of drugs for that now. The itching and the burning of stuff. But it's only temporary, right? All right, it's enough of that. I don't want to do the talking now.
It's a good thing he's not stuck in the past or anything.
They always are. All right. Judy, what do you have for? I hate to go to Judy in moments like this because it's always, and then Judy goes, 55,000 people dead in a typhoon. What is happening?
Another Cook County Forest Preserve there. Incident.
Okay.
Oh. Video on this one?
Nope.
Is that guy back?
He's on desk duty.
No, the bad guy. The bad guy.
Well,
the idiot in the blue shirt.
The accused. Yes. No, it does not involve him. As far as I know.
Okay. All right. We'll check with that at the top of the hour. Violetta, what's going on?
And then there's this. Listen to Steve Cochran tomorrow morning, 7:20. Your chance to win a free 4-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks convention. Right.
All right, Meghan Markle has gone all British on us, just in time for them to lose to Croatia in the World Cup.
I know it.
Yeah, they had a good run.
They did. I really thought that they were going to go to the World Cup, though. This was going to be their year.
Well, not this year.
But Croatia won, and Boris couldn't have been more excited.
Thanks, Boris.
Okay, Boris.
Okay.
You want a shot? Go back to the bar.
We got it, Boris.
Get us a round.
Although I bet there are some bars in Chicago.
Start breathing, Boris. All right, there you go.
You could hear just that right now if you went to some bars in Chicago.
That was after the game-winning goal.
Yeah. I'm telling you. The guys are going to be putting on the X body spray, and it's going to be quite a night. Quite a night. All right, but let's go back to Meghan Markle here for a second. Meghan Markle has gone British. She's gone all Madonna on us.
Right. Well, she is. She's part of the British aristocracy now.
Is she from here? Where is she from?
She's from born in L.A.
Yeah, from California. Mm-hmm.
Didn't she go to Northwestern?
Yeah, she went to Northwestern, right.
And then she lived in Canada. She's been all over.
Yeah. But now listen to this. This is audio that was just picked up of her in meeting the great unwashed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You look gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say. What's your name?
Sarah.
It's nice to meet you. Thank you.
Yes, we all had a great day, I think.
Sure,
the sun was shining for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very lucky all around.
You hear the all?
Very lucky all around.
Is she going Johnny Depp?
Lucy, yes. Thank you so much.
That's so easy to do. If you guys have any time in a country like that, I mean, you do. You start, but especially her. She's getting training from the Queen's senior palace advisor. She's learning to be a British royal.
And don't you talk like people when you hang out with them?
Yes, I think that's some truth to that.
Remember, this happened to Madonna.
That was different, though.
And I like to have things my way, but I can assure you that I don't often have things my way. But that said, what happened with the adoption and the world's reaction to it was quite shocking. And
shocking.
There's no way I could have prepared myself for it.
Yes. You're from Detroit!
I know.
You are from Detroit!
And it wasn't like, was she living there permanently, or was she just sort of there and she was also living out of New York? Well, and she was living out of
Miami. She was living out of Miami. Well, remember, she married the pool boy or something, right? Or had the baby with the pool boy, remember that?
Carlos Leon. Mm-hmm.
Yes, who was resting comfortably after the birth of the child, as I seem to recall. because that's all he really did. And then she married Guy Ritchie and had kids with him, and she was moving back and forth between England and
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. UK and U.S.
Spending a lot of time there. You could see it.
Oh, please.
You could see it. She also, when she went to, there's a video of her, too, greeting a British baker who gave her a scone, but she pronounced it scun.
A scun. Wait, this is Meghan Markle?
This is Meghan Markle. So they're sort of tracking this with her now, and she's becoming British.
Traitor.
Yeah.
The first giveaway is always often.
Often.
It's oftentimes.
It's often. It's there's no hard T. It's often.
So but when they say often, it's because they're becoming English.
Often.
So if Meghan Markle moved to Bridgeport, she'd be like, hey, listen.
How you doing?
Listen, I was gonna go get some beef. You want hot? What you want? Peppers? What you want?
Where's the
hot,
now?
I want juicy.
You want juice? You want juice? You want wet?
What dem guys want?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want 2-3 of them? How many you want?
You with those guys?
I mean, what is?
Use is my favorite.
I don't know.
I love that.
Use guys hungry? I don't know. Anyway, well, we wish her the best. Is she going to be at that dinner tonight with Trump? Or wait, it's tea, right?
It's they were having tea.
Is tea tonight or tomorrow? Tea would be over.
Tomorrow, but let's...
Okay.
No, oh, God.
She was highly critical of the president on her blog before she... Well...
Before she wiped the blog?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Trump's going to drink tea?
With the queen tomorrow.
My Kool-Aid tastes horrible. What is this?
Diet Coke, please.
Put it in a baby teacup.
They're meeting Friday the 13th.
They are meeting this Friday?
Yeah.
What is he doing, Putin? Or the other way around?
Jeez. Isn't Putin first? Putin is first, and then the queen, I believe.
Wait, mm-hmm. Double check that.
I'm going to look at it right now.
I want answers here. Because you got it. Because why is he... Now he's... I don't understand.
Oh, he's going to meet Putin Monday.
Monday, okay. Mm-hmm. He's got the queen on Friday?
That's right.
What's he doing tomorrow? He's got a whole day that he's
golfing?
Just, oh boy, you know, it's the worst when he's got an extra day on his hands because then his Twitter fingers just go nuts.
Uh-huh. Watch out for that.
Is he going to golf? Because he could golf. He does, you know, he has that Irish golf course. See, if he visits that, that's going to get a little weird, I think. And that's also not in England.
No. But imagine how that's going to be when the president sits down with the queen. You know, I don't know.
Ooh, yes.
Maybe he'll get an accent.
I envision him putting his finger right in the bowl and getting a sugar cube out and plunking it in his
right.
cup.
But he's not going to get tea. He's not going to
ask for a scone, that's for sure. Pass the scones and the clotted cream, okay?
Hello, Your Highness. Miss. You know what? You're a lot hotter, babe, than I thought you were.
Oh, we're
for 90, I'll bet you really still can, you know. Prince Philip, how about that? She's still pretty hot, huh? Prince Philip, are you alive? Hello? Somebody knock on him. All right.
Just don't try to shake her hand.
Yeah. All right. That's time now. That tells us we got to go. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Judy Palak's got the news. Top 5-5 coming your way next. Rococho with Hannah DeBlancis right here, 720 yes. WGN. Top 5-5, heading your way in just a second here. This is being handed to me hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses.
Whoa. All right.
Is anyone else stunned by this news that Kylie Jenner is on the cover of Forbes as self-made women, $900 million cosmetic
almost
fortune?
Almost a billionaire.
So
by
is
the
this age. The mom who released a sex tape of her daughter?
No,
this is
Kylie. This is the
youngest.
This is a Jenner. This is Bruce Jenner when he was Bruce Jenner.
I'm so lost.
She's 20, and she launched the cosmetics company.
Kylie Cosmetics, and she's the youngest Kardashian.
A few years ago, and now $900 million estimated net worth, not by the Kardashians, but by Forbes magazine.
Is she preggers? Did she have a baby?
Yeah, she had a baby.
Yeah.
Her name's Stormy.
With a basketball?
Oh, right, Stormy.
Aren't they all supposed to?
Yeah.
With Travis Porter, he's a rapper.
I don't know that I've ever seen that makeup. Like, a $1 billion empire? Where's that makeup sold?
I think it's different, you know, I think it's really younger people, right, who are buying it.
Mm-hmm. She has a lip kit, a lot of lip glosses.
Is she the one who just deflated her lips? She had the really big ones and they went, that came down?
Well, she claims that she was just lining them and knows how to do her lips well, but I don't know, they look pretty fake.
$1 billion.
Lip gloss. We've got lip gloss.
You've got to give her credit, though, for making that much money.
I do.
No, she made it because she's a Kardashian. Come on. Even though she's a Jenner.
She sold stuff and is almost a billionaire. How are you not going to give someone credit for that?
Well, I don't think that she was actually in the lab making this stuff, and I don't think she was actually in the conference room.
No, she leveraged your social media following, obviously, and you know, Gina kind of knows what people like. But look, put it in perspective here, she's at 27th on this list of female billionaires self-made. At 6 is Oprah. 53 is Beyonce.
At 6 is of women. Who's the richest billionaire woman?
I gotta find that out.
Betsy DeVos, probably.
But she's not self-made. This is the self-made list. Self-made women only. So.
But are you self-made when you come from a family like that? I mean, aren't the Jenner Kardashian? I get so lost in this whole thing.
So any famous family then could make $1 billion. I don't think it's as easy as you guys are making it seem.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well,
no, yeah. I'll give you a billion dollars.
I'll show you how.
It is a social media. They are the first great example of social media marketers in America.
Number one is Diane Hendricks of ABC Supply, largest wholesale distributor of roofing, siding, and windows.
ABC Supply, yeah.
Sure. So that's a female run and owned and started business.
That's pretty interesting. So why are we talking about her? We're talking about the lip plumper over here.
I think we're just surprised. I was surprised. I was surprised that it was worth that much.
All right.
And always being a critic, I always have to wonder about women-owned businesses. So many times they're fronts for the men behind the business.
Well, I don't think I don't think that Ms. Jenner is actually making any of the decisions here. They're just using, she's the front. She's the face of this, and she's the social media face of it, which has done very, very, very well. And they have, you know, there's an entire boardroom of people behind her that are doing this. She's obviously working with a company that does, you know, makeup and things like that. And, you know, listen, God bless them. I like the fact you got Kim Kardashian West out there going to jail every other hour and you know, serving scrambled eggs. Have you seen that?
Right. She's a criminal justice campaign reformer now.
Yeah. So there you have it. All right. You know it's time for, don't you?
We do.
Yes, you do.
We do.
Yes, you do.
That's
yes.
time of day.
Yes, you do.
It happens every day
yes,
this time.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Hold on. What happened to my... I don't know what's going on here.
Use ready.
I got it right here. I just hit the thing right here. What was going on? Hey!
Button's not working over there.
Jenny, what's going on?
The Tom Show with Anna DeVantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it!
All right. Thank you. I don't know why. What was going on there? What was happening?
It was a little soft, too, but we'll get it working.
Hold on. Don't anybody move. No big deal.
Number 5.
Thanks, Orion.
Poor Orion. Poor Orion had to take. He was number 5. Oh. We took the U out of him. I don't know what happened. All right, we're going to get this fixed. We're having a crisis. House Speaker Paul Ryan publicly weighed in today on the allegation of former Ohio State wrestlers that Congressman Jim Jordan, a former Ohio State coach, was aware of the sexual abuse but turned a blind eye to it. His spokesman said in a statement last week that these are serious allegations and issues that the university has rightfully initiated a full investigation into the matter, and the speaker will await the findings of that inquiry. But today, Ryan was asked directly about it.
Jim Jordan is a friend of mine. We haven't always agreed with each other over the years, but I've always known Jim Jordan to be a man of honesty and a man of integrity. I also want to make sure that Ohio State conducts the review of this doctor and what he did. That's important so that campuses are safe. And I'm glad Jim is supporting that review. With respect to ethics, the ethics committee here investigates things that members do while they're here, not things that happened a couple of decades ago when they weren't in Congress.
Well, they're older charges, but he has had several, 14 at last count, people have come forward to say that this is not true. And I think you have to wait for this full investigation. He's saying patently false, all of it, didn't know anything about it. There's no way he could turn a blind eye to it because he didn't know.
Calls it all fake news on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because CNN was contacting all 100 plus of former staff and interns asking for dirt on him, so he considered that fake news.
Yeah. The allegations about this doctor, though, are weird, man.
Yeah, they are.
He was taking showers with the wrestlers for half an hour and soaping himself. It's already clean, doctor. It's already clean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very weird. And he was telling when the head coach asked him about it, he goes, "Well, I'm just being thorough."
Oh,
really?
Gee. And there are records of that, and I just wonder.
Yeah.
In those situations, when more people don't intervene and act, it just
All right, checking in at
number four.
President Trump is in Brussels at the NATO headquarters, meeting with NATO Secretary General ahead of the summit. The president reiterated his irritation with NATO allies, saying that they need to pay their fair share.
Since our last meeting, commitments have been made for over $40 billion more money spent by other countries. So that's a step, but it's a very small step. It sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But it's a very small amount of money relative to what they owe and to what they should be paying. And it's an unfair burden on the United States.
That breakfast, he just launched into it.
I think it's something that NATO has to look at. I think it's very inappropriate. You and I agree that it's inappropriate. I don't know what you can do about it now, but it certainly doesn't seem to make sense that they pay billions of dollars to Russia, and now we have to defend them against Russia.
Russia. He is talking there about the fact that Germany has done a deal with Gazprom, the oil producer out of Russia, to do a pipeline into Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And the president's making the argument of why do we have to protect them against Russia if they're doing a deal with Russia? Which the logic of that is then no more NATO, goodbye. I mean, it's international trade is okay. The idea here is to keep the whole idea of NATO, during the Cold War, was this alliance in Europe so that Russia didn't invade Western Europe and take over as they had Poland. They didn't take over West Germany. They were already in East Germany, and they were in Czechoslovakia, and they were in other places. They were in Yugoslavia to some degree, but then they had Tito. Tito did his own deal. But they had these satellites. They were in charge of some of these places, and then they had satellite agreements with other places. And then, the fear was that it was going to tip over and go into West Germany, and France, and Switzerland, and Italy, and Spain, and then up into Sweden and Finland and all that. So the question was, how did you keep that from happening? So we formed NATO to keep a bulkhead against Soviet aggression.
Right. An attack on one is an attack on all.
And the only time that has ever been invoked, by the way, an attack on one is an attack on all, was on September 12th, 2001.
Absolutely.
That's
when
the only
US
time
was attacked.
NATO stepped up and protected one of its members, was to protect us and launch off into seeking Osama bin Laden and the terrorists responsible.
And eventually sent NATO troops to Afghanistan, hundreds of whom were killed.
Right. So I think that it's worth remembering that. But there's a separate issue here, too. Is it now that things are different? Now, remember, NATO was just a handful of countries. Now it's dozens of countries, two dozen countries. And that's because of the fall of the Soviet Union, and these countries, like the Eastern European countries, they got their freedom from the yoke of the Soviet Russians, but they don't believe that these Russians are not going to be as expansive or try to expand their territory back into what some Russians believe is theirs. They already started in Crimea. The Baltic states are very concerned about what's going to happen. Estonia is already, Estonia is training up military to say, listen, we're not going to give this up. We'll die fighting the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they've all joined NATO because they're afraid that that's Putin's play. And Putin figures maybe if he gets the right political pressure, breaks up NATO, he doesn't need to fire a shot. These things will all fall like dominoes for him. And somehow we in the United States are like, whatever. And it's not.
These are significant
things. And if Europe falls, the European economy falls, and you think you've got a trade problem now. United States needs to sell their products overseas. The U.S. economy the growth of the U.S. economy is not an insular growth. It is an expansionist growth. You have to sell stuff to Canada and Mexico, your friends, who are, no, I guess, no longer our friends, to South America, to Asia, the Pacific Rim, and all those emerging markets there, and in Europe. That's how we make our money. All right. I gotta go. I have to take a break.
I'm sure it made you a little uncomfortable when you saw that video of him launching into the Allies this in that breakfast,
right? And they hadn't even been served their food yet.
And then I'm thinking, already choking.
If I'm Angela Merkel, I'm like, I'm out of here. Sauerbraten for breakfast. I don't want it. All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A gun-toting Cook County judge won't be on the bench for a while.
Uh-oh. See, let's get that's a problem right there. Violetta?
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, top five continues. We've worked our way to
number three.
Okay, now the American Idol live tour is kicking off.
Oh.
It's gonna rumble through Chicago, isn't it?
I'd imagine
so. At some point,
the
United
does.
Center or something like that.
Let's see.
It's got the top seven finalists, plus season eight champ Chris Allen.
No big deal. Chris Allen.
For the first time ever, the reigning American Idol champ and runner-up are in a serious relationship.
Whoa.
Scandal.
You mean Ruben Studdard and what's his face?
Clay Aiken?
Clay Aiken were not in a serious relationship?
I don't think so.
Now, this is Maddie Poppy and Caleb Lee Hutchinson.
They're so great.
Oh, they're so, and aren't they adorable?
Yes.
They're
so
just
great.
Adorable. That's why Maddie says she's not going to be missing her family so much on tour this summer.
I've done this kind of stuff before, you know, trying to be away from my family. I just went to college like an hour and a half away, and I couldn't be away from my family because it was just, you know, I miss them so much. And don't get me wrong, I still miss them, but it's so much easier, and I really don't get homesick when he's around. And when, you know, the rest of the top seven are around, we just have a lot of fun together.
It's going to be sad when this ends in a celebrity breakup.
Yeah.
Pulling for Caleb and Maddie.
I'm call me a bit of a cynic.
Mm, about relationships or just...
Oh, yeah, that too.
Life.
Yeah. American Idol.
Right. Yeah.
Young love.
Where does it begin?
Wait, we'll stop there. It's a long list.
Yeah. Well, you got to have young love because, you know, when you get older, you just start to hate everybody. So
what?
If you're going to love anybody, you better start young. I think I'm all for that.
I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah.
I hope this one lasts.
Yeah. I mean, it's sweet, but I have a suspicion that this was manufactured for the consumption of
television executives.
Yeah. Baby, darling, sweetheart. Listen, Maddie, thank you for coming into the office. You know, Tommy. We're going to create a relationship between the two of you, and you need to keep up the ruse for as long as possible.
Like the Bachelorette virgin angle?
Yeah. Yes.
I still think that one is legit. He is a virgin because all of his exes would be coming out of the woodwork. Haven't heard from him.
Okay, that's an excellent point.
But these two, I want to believe, are truly a real couple.
Okay.
What a sweet story that would be. Going through this life-changing moment. They're so talented. The world is ahead of them.
Until
they just
one of
seem...
them loses and then hates the other one.
Yeah.
But it isn't always the winner that does really well afterwards. Just to...
Well, he already lost. She beat him and won.
He's second. It was often, but that doesn't... But you never lose on American Idol. I mean, Jennifer Hudson proved that, right?
That's right. She was, what, eighth?
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood did win, though, didn't she?
Yes, yeah, she did.
What about that guy from Mount Prospect, my hometown?
Oh yeah. Well, gosh, what was his name again?
Oh, he did win?
I'm pretty sure he won.
He had a good
win. And we can't remember his name. That's how well.
We interviewed him before. What was his name? Lee something.
Yes.
Help me out.
You are. Anna, you're good.
He used to be a painter or something.
Dwise?
Was it Lee Dwise?
Yeah.
He probably plays over at
nice Mount Prospect fella.
Yeah, the Mount Prospect Fest.
It's a Dirty Nellie's. We go to see him there.
Maybe he's a Taste of Chicago.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably Frontier Days guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Back to your point about being very cynical about all of these things.
Well, I'm just happy for them. That girl, that Maddie Poppy, is the real deal.
Incredible.
She could be a star in this business.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what business this is.
Oh, I don't either.
All right, we're up to
number two.
too.
During his monologue last night, Stephen Colbert joked about the president pick for Supreme Court Brett Kavanaugh, arguing that sitting president should not be distracted by an investigation of or lawsuits. That's what Kavanaugh says.
Leave the president alone might seem to be an odd position from a guy like Kavanaugh, who worked for Ken Starr's investigation of Bill Clinton. But that was before Kavanaugh worked for George W. Bush. He explains, my chief takeaway from working in the White House for 5.5 years is that the job of president is far more difficult than any other civilian position in government. So, he thinks the president should be above the law because his job is hard? Well, in that case, I say moms of 3 or more kids ought to be able to murder at will.
Oh, God.
Now, that's funny.
Where are we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't get on Judy's bad side. That's
no,
what I learned.
You did learn that. We all have.
I am going to actually hit, for the party tomorrow night, I'm going to hit Judy with a tranquilizer dart before she shows up at my house.
Oh, can't wait.
Sounds severe.
Don't tempt her.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, because...
But do it after I have a few drinks.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that.
I don't want to wake
up. Yeah, and then hit her with that, and then go, okay, good. Because I just don't want her to turn. And then I'm going to make Kevin drive her home.
Oh, that's when I go. Once I sense it, I'm out.
No, yeah, we'll set her up.
I
ever
shuffle
couch.
Out of there.
I don't need to drive home. You've got extra rooms.
Oh, God.
See? This is what happens.
Violetta, make one up for me, will you? A guest room?
Oh, I will.
Thank
You'll
you.
You'll have towels, everything.
Violetta will be arriving at my house tomorrow between 10:30 and 11 to start preparing the party.
Mm-hmm.
According to my staff.
You just found that out.
Yeah. All right.
I'm nervous for you, Ron.
I am, too. I don't know. I wouldn't feel so comfortable about that.
You know, I had a flood over the, you know, I had tragedy in that house.
You did.
And now it's back to perfect, and I don't want, I don't want any of this, quite honestly.
That's not the part I'd be worried about. It's the snooping.
Stop worrying.
Any love letters in your bedroom somewhere?
Lock your safe.
Take them up.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, wait. You're assuming I have love letters somewhere in my house?
I don't know what you have.
No.
I'm just saying there are personal items that I would not keep anywhere findable.
I
was just saying that. I probably meant something else.
I have legal filings is what I have in my house. All right. Bad decision by two men to hop on a CSX train led to a bizarre 911 call from one of the trespassers as the train rumbled from Huron to Wayne County in Michigan.
911, what's your emergency?
Me and my friend sat on the train because we kind of jumped on it. The train was going really, really, really bad. And I really don't know where we're at or where we're going.
Okay, I'm sorry. What happened?
I'm on the train. It was going really, really fast, and I don't know where I'm going.
Okay, you're following a what? A vehicle, or?
No, I'm on a train.
On a train. But not on the inside of the train, is that?
All right, so this is Christian Hale and Kevin Sloan. They jumped onto the moving train in Willard, Michigan, around 4 a.m., but the train picked up speed, and then it was going about 60 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. And they hung on to the outside of these two cars.
You're on a train.
Yeah, and it's going really fast, and I don't know where it's going.
Okay. Do you work for the company, or?
No.
Okay. What are you doing on the train?
Well, I really don't know that question because it's stupid. And I figured that it was going to be better than walking.
This is a call from the outside back of the train.
It's better than walking. So we jumped on the train, and now it's going at 60 miles an hour. I don't know where I am.
I don't know where it's going, sir.
And now walking sounds pretty good.
But I love the operator. Was like, wait, you're driving?
Are you behind a car? I gotta hope not. They were charged with trespassing in the back of a police cruiser. One of the guys said this.
I thought it was going to stop in Willard, and it didn't stop, and I should have never got on the train, and I know it was a stupid idea, and I never should have did it. I wasn't going to, and I never will again.
He's got that right. We won't do that again.
I like what the guy's saying. Do you work for the company? No, not really.
No.
So what are you doing on the train?
You didn't make it clear he was hanging on to the train for dear life.
That's when he started to mumble. Well, why are you on the train?
Could you just send a car? All right. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Rokhan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. It's been a wacky day.
It has. Like Croatia beat England. In quite a match.
Yep.
And then the president sort of going around not playing nice with the NATO allies.
No, and that's what I want to talk about here very quickly with Philip Bump, Washington Post national correspondent, because the president started the day off today, at least we woke up to this morning, the president having a meal with the NATO allies. I would like to point out that that's what we refer to the NATO participants as, our allies, that the Germans, he was mad at the Germans because they cut a deal with the Russians for an oil pipeline, and that he's basically making the argument of, why do we need to protect you from Russia if you're doing a deal with Russia? Philip, can you explain this?
I can. It is not a simple thing to explain, but I'll do my best. So the upshot is that President Trump wants to, he's being generally critical of NATO, and so I think it's important for people to remember that this is the context. He to some extent, is trying to knock our NATO allies on their heels. But in this particular case, what he's saying is that Germany shut down their nuclear power plants, is using natural gas to generate electricity because it's cleaner than coal, and the most readily available cheap source of natural gas is Russia. They run a pipeline through the Baltic Sea and are building a second one, and they're going to pipe in a lot of natural gas from Russia. Currently, about 40% of the natural gas they use, it could eventually be about 60-70% of the natural gas they use. But what Trump is saying essentially is, if you're so dependent on Russia, then you are essentially puppets of Russia. And, you know, why should we then have to defend you from Russia if you're so close to Russia? So that's the argument. There's a lot of ways that that falls apart, including that it's still only a very small part of the energy that Germany produces. Of course, it is not the case that Germany is beholden to Russia. Obviously, it would be ideal if they didn't have this economic relationship with Russia from the standpoint of traditional ally-enemy relationships. But also, Trump is trying to sell natural gas to Europe and broadly, and Germany in particular. We see a big spike in exports of natural gas in the United States. He'd like to sell more of it, and that's sort of overhanging this, too.
Well, natural gas, though, is it harder to sell it to Europe from the United States because you have to ship it there?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it is a pipeline, much easier for Russia to run a pipeline under the Baltic to Germany than it is for the United States to run a pipeline that exports natural gas to Europe. So we have to essentially, there's a hugely intensive process to liquefy the natural gas. It's then sent on ships over to Europe, and actually the three primary ports that we send it are to China, South Korea, and Mexico. We actually send less of it to Europe. But Donald Trump would like to help create this market. And, of course, there's also another consideration here, which is that Trump has this habit of sort of turning criticisms of himself onto others. And so it has been, since the campaign, people have been saying, well, you're a puppet of Russia. And so what he's doing is turning around and saying, well, actually, Germany is the puppet of Russia because of this natural gas relationship. So there are a lot of factors that are coming to play here.
That did make quite a few headlines and irked a lot of people when he said Germany is captive of Russia. And Angela Merkel explained, no, the farthest thing from that, that they've been very critical of Russia. But you wonder, it's not an ideal situation for Russia to be supplying that much of their natural gas. Is there some geopolitical strategy at play here with Putin to try to do this, to be a larger producer for more European countries?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Putin would like to sell as much of his natural gas as he can. They used to be the number one producer of natural gas until the development of hydraulic fracturing, a.k.a. fracking. Now the United States produces more natural gas than any other country. But Putin has all this natural gas, and he wants to sell it. He is probably more eager to have customers than Germany is to buy their gas. And one reason Germany buys their gas is because Putin makes it very cheap for them. So obviously there is a geopolitical advantage for Russia if it is able to turn off the tap on Germany. But Germany is not hoping to rely on this over the long term. They're trying to switch to more renewable forms of energy anyway. So it's not clear how long this will actually be a point of leverage for Russia anyhow.
Well, there's a question here that is a significant one, though, which is the thing that overhangs all of this is this fear that what Donald Trump is really trying to do is to blow up NATO on behalf of Vladimir Putin. And, you know, that's the most extreme philosophy about that. The most extreme thought is that, you know, he's actually doing this. He's, you know, he's doing Putin's bidding here. Or maybe he just likes the idea of blowing up NATO. But his criticism of NATO in terms of, you know, who's paying what, and he makes it sound as though they owe us money, which they don't, or they owe NATO money, which they don't. They owe themselves money. The way that he does this, it is a way of belittling this, you know, rather important and at times fragile alliance of these countries to make sure that there is a bulkhead against Eastern aggression. And I don't get it. And what else? No other president since the formation of NATO in the 1940s, 1949 or whatever that was, 48, that no one else has ever done this. Why? What's the point?
So I would say there are probably two factors at play. I mean, setting aside this idea that Putin has him in his thrall, which, you know, it sort of is a, you know, the spy movie version of this thing, we know that Donald Trump is a contrarian, right? We know that he likes to do things that people think he shouldn't do. And I think that this is a very good example of that. He's continuously told, hey, man, look, if you can't treat NATO this way, there are allies, there's a reason for this, and all that really seems to want to do is make him want to do it more. But I think that there's an important thing to remember, too, about Trump, which is that he learned a valuable lesson on November 8th, 2016, and that is that he was right and everyone else in America was wrong. Everyone thought he was going to lose. He said, hey, I'm going to trust my gut. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to win this thing. And hey, he won it, right? And so I think that for a guy who'd spent years watching Fox News, bringing a conservative frame to the way he approached American politics, and then was told, hey, you're wrong about all this, he was then proven right. And so I think that too reinforces his contrarianism and makes him more likely to act out in the way that he said, you know, people are telling him not to do it. I think he says to himself, hey, man, they were wrong before. This time I'm going to do what I want to do.
But you don't really think he wants the U.S. to pull out of NATO or break it up in any way? Do you?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, he seems to very much like one-on-one deals, right? So NAFTA, for example, he would, I think, rather have a one-on-one deal with Canada and a one-on-one deal with Mexico than a unified agreement. So I think he may also think, like he does with the World Trade Organization, apparently, like he does with the European Union, that he may be better off having one-on-one alliances with individual countries than with NATO on the whole. I don't know. Certainly the indications are that he's not happy with NATO in a way we haven't seen from a president before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, and Canada. I mean, it all starts and ends to me with Canada. It's like he's picking a fight with. It's like your really polite brother, right? Who comes over and helps you with the. This is what drunks do, and I know the president is not a drinking drunk, right? But I think he's like an emotional drunk or something because it's like this is what you do. You pick a fight with people that are most helpful to you. And then I don't understand it at all. I don't get it.
There's definitely a weird sort of insecurity to it, which I think that we've seen lots of reports, a lot of biographies of Donald Trump reflect that. I think it's accurate. And I think that, you know, that he sees himself as Donald Trump still and not as the president of the United States. And Donald Trump's reaction to people who he's supposed to like is often to be sort of off-putting. And I think that's how he approaches these.
Yeah, I think he also thinks Melania is a little hot for Justin Trudeau, and I think
she was awfully close to him today, talking, looking very friendly,
close talking.
Just saying.
Do you think maybe I can get citizenship? All right, Philip, thank you very much, appreciate it, sir. Philip Bump from the Washington Post.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Philip.
I don't know, man.
Smart guy, that Philip.
Yeah. All right, let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Is it a hate crime or a badgering?
Bialetta.
Got any old junk you think might be worth something? Tune into the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 8:40 when they're going to play Swap Meet. He and that Justin Kaufman. They do the Swap Meet. None of my old junk is worth anything. This is what I find out.
Right. Would it surprise you to learn that this is totally worthless? That has happened to me a few times.
Many times. Yeah. Like you post on eBay and no one even tries to buy it for like $10.
I brought my stuff to Plato's Closet. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
I do.
And, you know, I get offended.
What did
when
you
they
bring?
When they don't take my clothes, I'm like, this is very
You know
nice.
What works the best? This new Facebook Market thing they have. My roommate put stuff on there, gone in like one day.
And does he put a good price on it? Or?
Yeah. People come and take it and they do it. Yeah. Everything moves quick. It's like 24-hour shelf life on this stuff he's put on there.
Wow.
Yeah. Check it out.
What is he putting on
there? So, for example, like he was doing some landscaping stuff. So there were like garden bricks that would kind of like line like a bush-lined area around your house. And he pulled those out because, I don't know, he was just redoing stuff. There's really nothing wrong with them. He had to clean them up. But that's something that's like, okay, what am I going to do with all these? There's a lot of them. And he put them on there. And so many people had interest in them because you could use them for so many different landscaping. Some guy picked up like 50 of them because he wanted to build a bonfire with them. But they come and they did all the work. They picked them all up, threw them in their truck, and took them on.
And wait, it's Facebook
and those we actually, he gave those away. But he bought a new oven, sold his old oven.
Wait, Facebook what?
It's like a new market tab they have where you can post things like that. But anyways, it's working great for him.
Well, Plato's Closet is not working.
Yeah.
For me. You bring your stuff over there. Yeah,
but Plato's Closet works for a lot of people.
No, it does.
I'd like to remind everybody of that.
It works really well. It's just sometimes I feel like I have like good taste and they don't buy my stuff.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and maybe, I mean,
that tube top has barely been worn.
I think I think you should have just stopped at Tube Top. I think that was no.
The clothes you wear, Violetta, to the club only fit like 12-year-olds, so it's not. This doesn't match up, lady. We don't know who's going to buy this.
Right, well, club attire for 12-year-olds.
It smells like Jägermeister. Did you wash your clothes?
I have a technique. I go from one to the other with the same bag, and I see. I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it one more chance before I bring it to Goodwill.
That's what Judy would tell you to do. And even at Goodwill, they're like, where did you wear this?
We need to burn this ASAP. Smells like that other guy, Boris.
I'll still take it and sell it.
All right. On that note, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Next door and window, bringing you Judy Pilax News. It's 6 o'clock. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
Sounds like someone's having a party, that music.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're having a party.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
And I'm staying over. To really make you scared.
I don't have a lock on my door. I don't know what to do. This is a bad idea.
Violetta's on the advance work. She's going to be in there in the house without you during the day, setting up. What could go wrong?
I don't like the way any of this is sounding.
I could sleep on a tent on the deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a real bed out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I could put an air mattress or something out there for you.
Maybe. No, I don't do air mattresses. Yeah,
okay.
No, there's plenty of space, Judy. We'll get you some towels.
Awesome.
We'll get you some
drag a mattress off one of the many beds he has in his house, right?
He's got plenty of bedrooms.
I don't know.
Maybe some mosquito netting because the mosquitoes are really bad.
No, you're going to be inside, Judy.
Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Don't worry. His assistant already gave me a copy of the key, so.
Why don't you give her Rose bed? He could sleep in the guest bedroom.
I don't want Rose bed.
No?
I want a barely used bed. Or maybe never used. That would be the best. Now I sound like Ro.
Yeah. Well, there's a few of those in there, too. So,
yeah, I think the one mattress still has, like, the packaging on it.
Yeah. All right, that's the one I want. Mm. And keep the packaging on.
Yeah. Again, how does she know this?
I don't know all of this.
Contents of your refrigerator.
I would like to.
A Greek yogurt.
Yeah, I would like to know the answer to a lot of these questions because I would, quite honestly, because I'd like to call the authorities about it.
Probably the most interesting thing I saw was in your freezer. He actually has
a head.
He has these
body parts.
Not in the one in the basement, the one upstairs. It's he's got these hockey puck frozen things ready to make, like, I don't know, vegetables, soup. What do you use those for?
It's actually chicken stock or
whatever.
Wow.
I was like, that's very, well, it just seems like very prepared, you know?
Yeah, I'm prepared for everything.
Professional chef, top chef of you.
Yeah. You gotta
and
have
they were perfectly
have,
circled. Like, what did you put those in? Like, a pancake? Or
you don't really believe he made those, do you?
In a muffin tin.
Oh, in a
tin.
Muffin tin.
Come on, did you really make those?
Yeah.
Wow.
You make your own chicken stock?
Not the chicken stock. With the bones?
Yeah, it's I like to cook. And so, bone broth. Yeah, that was my nickname in high school.
It's a part of a lot of diets. A lot of people say that.
Yeah. Anyway, I
helps.
Just
that was very interesting.
Yeah,
that's something you wouldn't expect.
See, I'm really glad you're interested in it. What were you doing in my freezer? What are you doing in my house?
I was looking for the candy for the Halloween distribution.
All right.
Some people leave it in the freezer.
The only problem is, I mean, we agreed to do this party. I mean, mm-hmm. I agreed to do this party.
And we haven't seen the deck for a long time.
Right.
We've been laying a lot of hints that it looks so nice, but we haven't seen it. You talk about it all the time.
And then the next thing I know, I get a call from my assistant who says, oh, Violetta's going to be dressed between 10:30 and 11 tomorrow.
I was like, what?
And it wasn't even like, are you okay with it?
Your jaw dropped.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you know, A, Violetta, and two, why is she going to be at my house?
But she get your phone number.
I don't know, but she was able to get a hold of my assistant. And
she is so nice, very helpful.
Oh, God.
She has great ideas. She's helping me plan this whole thing, and she's the whole executor, so
we're
all going to work.
You're making this so difficult now, Violetta. I know. It's a nice, relaxful night around Rose Little Fire
beers,
Pit. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In
you
and out.
Very simple. You guys do this.
You pretend you don't like
my planning, and I know you like it.
No, nobody does.
Yes,
now there's
like
a theme we have to worry about.
I know. Like, what do I wear tomorrow now?
You show up, and you just have fun.
We were going to have fun by being just normal people who sit around a fire and have conversation.
Well, I'm not normal.
Have a couple chuckles.
I was going to invite that guy from the Forest Preserves over, the guy in the blue shirt.
Mix things up a little bit.
Yeah. Are you American?
This is a roast.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
You
should wear a Serbia shirt, too, just to make the guy really nuts.
Or a World Cup. I'll have a World Cup soccer.
What's wrong with you?
Soccer's not a real sport.
You're not a real... Who are you?
You know what?
Citizen.
That might be the funnest party I've been to in a while.
Yeah,
it's
going to bring him.
He might be a little tied up at the moment.
Yeah. But he's good. He's fun. He's fun till, you know, like about the seventh beer.
Yeah.
And then that's when there's trouble.
Or he's sneaking shots and you know it, but you finally catch him and then that's when all hell breaks loose.
If you catch someone doing something, you know.
It's like, whoa, 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 we said no hard stuff, buddy, and then that's the moment.
Uncle John,
that's
put
the
it
moment
down.
When he turns on everybody. I'm just having a little.
Where are you from? You should be wearing that. Well, now they want to. Did you see this? They wanted Chuy Garcia, who's running for Congress, mm-hmm. so he's in an election, mm-hmm. right? He wants to charge the guy with a hate crime. He was asking the Cook County prosecutors to do that. He's a drunk. He was a drunk. He was drunk, and he's an idiot. Two things in combination, I know a little something about.
Yeah.
And charging him with a hate crime is that he didn't touch her. He didn't. He just was, you know, and besides, it was awful. It was ridiculous. But don't we have, I mean, the courts are clogged, right? This guy is a moron, and now the world knows he's
a
moron.
Well, and he's going to end up paying a steep price for this, or probably you could say a fitting price, depending on how you look at it. Because, I mean, think about it. You know, he's going to get pressure from his job, everything else, and
what
he shouldn't have done what
he
did.
What makes you think he has a job?
I don't know. I mean, you know that he is going to face charges, and he is currently facing them.
Right.
And then,
he's
going to feel the heat as well.
Well, I wonder how he feels about it. You know, like you said yesterday, once he sobered up, what I
yeah, I know.
Was that me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he probably put on the news, like, check out this idiot. Wait a minute.
I got that shirt.
I did blackout at a forest preserve last night. Uh-oh.
I would like to know, is she an American citizen?
Because she's wearing a Puerto Rico flag on her chest? Please.
Oh, my God. It is really, you know, you do wonder, what was he doing in the Forest Reserves in the first place? Like,
drinking.
He was by himself. by himself in his sleeveless blue t-shirt.
Maybe he was doing a little fishing by himself, you know, by the creek.
Can you fish in the Forest Preserve? Are you allowed to do
Probably
that?
Not, but you're not allowed to drink either.
I've seen people fish in the Forest Preserve.
Oh, people drink all the time in the Forest Reserve. Oh. And the Forest Reserves are really just for, they're literally for some sort of misdemeanor, right? Isn't that the whole point of the Forest Reserve? You go
some
there.
Some kind of nonsense.
Right. There's, and maybe, this lady, she rented out one of those, like, shed kind of things, mm-hmm. or like, not shed,
the
but
patio
like
area.
Yeah, patio area that has a roof over in case of rain.
You see some stuff in a Forest Preserve.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a youngster, that was one of our first adventures, riding bikes through the Forest Preserve. Guy trying to sell us drugs.
Right.
People like, you know.
There's a lot of human entertainment out there. I want to know why there's so many underpants in the trees.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. The first time I saw people, you know, making love and whatnot. We're like,
in the
whoa!
Wild?
It was like out in the field, like in this middle of the field. Okay, yes. We were like, dude, whoa. Let's go.
I never went deep into the Forest Preserve.
See, this is our first adventure.
This I just
like
stay
stand
on the
by me.
Yeah, stay on the
saw
perimeter.
Dead guy.
Oh, but the stuff you see in the parking lot, you don't want to see that either.
Well, yeah, they're parked backwards. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too.
Oh, honey, that man's just looking for his keys.
People do go to the Forest Preserve.
I think
Preserve.
He found them. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. No, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. No, he didn't.
The Forest Preserve, you always think you're going to be, like, hidden and secretive. And then anytime you get into something, you look to your left, and there's, like, a family. Like, what are you doing here? This is not a family spot. This is where you come to get away from people.
It's supposed to be
like,
a family
spot. Hey, babe, let's go to the Forest Preserve. No one will see us. And then you look to the left, it's like an old lady knitting in her front seat of her
right.
car.
Or there's a little picnic
going on.
It's
like, what are you doing here? It's a
the
Forest
question
Preserve.
Is, did she pull in or reverse into the spot?
She pulled right in. She had no clue. I was like, nothing to see here, man.
What are these Never lights? Mind. Hold on. What do these lights do? Are the lights working on my car? I'm going to turn them on and off now.
See what's happening.
Yeah.
The whole parking lot's empty, and they decide to park right next to you.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, that's exactly how it happens.
Oh, God. Wow.
Totally
well, and then there's a car that has clearly been there for like a month. Right. It's like it's got like dirt and like it's got debris on it, and you're like, how come no one's looking in the trunk for a body here?
Right, highly suspicious.
Yeah, I don't know.
She disappeared in the Forest Preserve. We have yet to look at that car over there, but we'll get around to it.
I don't know. I don't.
Well, let's not invite him to the party, though.
I say invite him.
Let him find out how to take the Pace bus here. You know, if he ends up getting here from the Forest Preserve, so be it.
What you know, they keep. I like all the confusion that the networks have about this. Mm-hmm. This happened in Cook County, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Who has ever said that? That this has happened in Cook County, Illinois.
Well, because
right?
they're like, there can't be a Forest Preserve. Where's this Forest Preserve?
I saw Chicago.
It's filled with Forest Preserves.
Well, I know, but I think out-of-towners don't get that.
I heard in a lot, even the national news, they were calling it Chicago, and they called it Chicago Police, which obviously wasn't the case.
Right. But, all right, so is it Devon in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Right?
Right by Superdog.
Yeah, that's the Superdog
Over by
spot.
Superdog. But is that technically Chicago,
is.
Or is it Lincolnwood, or what is it?
I think that is technically
that's,
Chicago.
I think that's
Still
the
Chicago.
Threshold mm-hmm. right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's right there.
Chicago Police.
And the Chicago cops don't want a piece of this. The Chicago Police Department...
No, they don't need this.
...has, you know, they have some reputational issues at the moment, much of which is undeserved. And then to throw this on top of it, because I think a Chicago copper walks up on this, right?
He's grabbing the guy by the collar.
Right.
He's getting him out of there.
Yeah. All right.
He's dealt with this before.
Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
I told you not to come back here.
Hey, come over here. Come over here. Right? As opposed to the guy walking around in his tactical vest with his, you know, like calling into his radio.
See, part of it kind of looked like that. The guy was just like, what am I looking at here? Like, my God. You know, like, what is
Yeah, I agree with you
here?
Until the point where the woman
almost
said,
like, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, I think he should have more, but I think for a lot of it, he was like, you got to be kidding me right now. You know, what is this idiot doing?
Right.
Yeah, but that's a lot of what police work is.
Especially in the Forest Preserve.
That's an excellent point. Especially in the Forest Preserve.
Well, actually, they look for pot plants mostly, I think.
Well, right, that and disorderly conduct.
In the pavilions.
There's a woman screaming in the background, and he's there sort of like,
I think I found a pot plant. I need a SWAT team here. There's a pot plant.
I need some backup.
Backup.
There's some guys yelling about Puerto Rico, too.
I think there's some sort of an international discussion going on over to the side of me over here, but there's clearly, I think that there's three leaves on this plant. And this is either pot
or poison ivy.
Maybe sumac. I don't know, poison sumac. All I know I need backup.
Send everyone we got.
Meanwhile, this jagweed is back there, is screaming at the woman.
So what's your point now?
That guy is such a...
All started from the shirt, too. So offensive that she was wearing this
right.
shirt.
It said Puerto Rico on it.
I know.
Yeah, and this whole thing is going on. And she's, like, you know, talking to him and trying to get him to go away. And the guy's wandering around.
So
and the guy in the tactical vest is wandering around in a circle.
I would like to know.
Yeah, no, definitely. I see. Now, this I think there's three leads here. And there's a couple of other things happening around the plant.
Maybe an abandoned vehicle.
I believe I'm also seeing a group of worms that are moving in a suspicious way. I'm looking at the ground.
Can you please get away from me? Can you please get away?
There's a pot plant over here, lady. Can you please get away from me?
Can you please get away from me? Let me tell you,
Puerto Rico is an American state.
It is.
Yes, they are.
Now there's a flock of birds that are pooping illegally.
Hey, calm down. Get away.
I need backup.
He did look like he was trying to ignore it.
Luckily,
I just don't want to get involved.
Luckily,
in that.
A couple of other coppers did show up. Not coppers, they were in Chicago.
Cook County Forest Reserve police
that showed up and were like, okay. Okay. Oh, and nice sleeveless t-shirt, pal. All right. Let's check in to find out what's happening in Judy's news at the bottom of the hour.
Legionnaires' disease outbreaks across the country.
Oh, no. You know, the party's canceled. There's a Legionnaires' disease outbreak.
Nope. Not contagious.
No,
don't worry.
What? No.
Your water
All right.
system's fine.
Oh, God.
We'll drink bottled water.
Violetta.
You'll provide it, though, right?
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival, and it's this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com. Get your seat at the table.
Tomorrow on the program, we got... A number of very interesting things are going to happen on the Thursday before the party. Richard Roper is going to be here. He's got a bunch of reviews. What's the big one he's reviewing tomorrow? Skyscraper.
Oh.
The movie that's about a skyscraper.
Whoa.
The Rock is only in movies now that have one word to describe exactly what's going on.
Just like his name.
Yeah.
I like The Rock, though.
Yep.
I like The Rock.
A special news ruse. This is the highest wire act we have ever pulled off here.
Is it your best friend from WGN TV, Joe Donlin, the principal anchor?
No.
Your friend?
We called him, he couldn't make it.
Oh.
Wait, is he coming to the party?
Busy. He's busy. No.
No.
No. We are the guy, Bill Murdoch, is our chief engineer here mm-hmm. at WGN Radio.
Does a fine job.
And he rebuilt, you know, he moved these studios, and now they're all up and running, and the mm-hmm. thing is, you know, humming along here. And we are inviting him in to play News or Ruse. It is to ask a radio engineer to play a game like this, is you just never know what's going to happen.
No, that's true. I bet he'll be good at it.
And if I were you, Judy, I would let him win. That's all I'm saying.
You want your microphone to work.
He is in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Her mic's already out. Look at that.
Exactly.
See? That's how he works.
Begins. Yeah.
He does it remotely, even.
Yep. So that's going to be that's going to be right about there. And then there's one more thing, too, tomorrow on the program that had me very excited.
What was that, Ro?
Sweet Lou Kanellis.
Oh, Sweet Lou.
Joins us for our Bears preview. We do this this is a long-standing tradition of the Ro Con Show and all of its iterations,
mm-hmm.
that Sweet Lou comes over here and we go through the schedule to decide what wins and losses there's going to be, and Lou always overestimates. Now,
he does.
Because there is hope for the Bears this year, you know, because of the new look Bears offense mm-hmm. and all that, Lou will say 15-1.
I think he picked 10-6 last year.
He did, yes. Yes, he did. So...